Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us live on Building Fortunes Radio. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. This is a really special radio show for me because I'm rekindling a relationship with a gentleman that I met a lifetime ago. It was like so long ago that I first met this gentleman. His name is Ray Gebauer. And Ray Gebauer and I met when we were, you know, we're doing the leads business. And somebody had referred us or whatever, and they was working with the network marketing company. And Ray and I started a conversation, and one thing led to another, and we worked with a large group of his people, and it was really great. And then I had the chance, through an experience that I had with somebody else, they flew me out to Seattle, I think it was, and he was in Bellevue at the time. And it was like one of those things, like, who do I know in Bellevue? Who do I know in that area? And I'm like, wait a minute, I know Ray. So I picked up the phone and I called Ray unexpectedly. It was over like on the weekend. And I said, hey, listen, I'm in town and I got the night free or whatever it would be. And I'm going to be flying out, you know, the next day. And one thing led to another. And he says, you know, I'm kind of busy now, but I'm going to go to church on Sunday. You want to join me for church? So I had a chance to actually visit with Ray. We went to church and then we went back to his house and all the cool things. But there's very few times in, I think, anybody's life where they get a chance to have a really nice connection with somebody who's as successful as a gentleman named Ray Gebauer. Now, this man has studied his trade. He knows a ton of stuff about health and nutrition. And he's got an interesting story. He's going to share some parts of that with you today. And I wanted him on the radio show because he's building with a network marketing company. And I wanted anyone in our Building Fortunes radio listening audience to hear, if they want to work with somebody who's one of the best people that ever met this planet, you want to work with Ray Gebauer. Heart's in the right place. We'll always do whatever's in your best interest. And I want our Building Fortunes radio listening audience to be able to hear from Ray personally and then also get some contact information from Ray as well. So, Ray, it is always with great and mutual respect and admiration, I want to say thanks for being here as a guest on our radio show. And before Ray gets started, I'm going to say hold on 1 second because I'm talking.
And I still remember that day where we met and went to the church service.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes.
Okay, sorry about that. For those people that are listening in, this is live radio. Ray, you were running a little bit late. I wasn't sure if you were showing up. I started playing our first radio show, and I liked it so much, my introduction, I wanted to listen to me all over again.
Okay, are we just continuing or are we starting over?
We're good to go. We're good. I was listening to my introduction to you and completely enjoying it. So I figured I can't ruin this. I'm going to let it go because it's still true. But for those people that are here in our listening radio audience, this is Ray Gebauer and Peter Mingles. We're live today and we're going to be covering some of the things that we covered last week as we continue. So, Ray, thanks for being here on your very own radio show.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. It's always a pleasure. It's a privilege. It's fun. It's exciting. Because for me, the bigger picture to life that encompasses everything, the reason we should be doing all that we do and everything we do is to create value, you know, to make a difference. And everyone's already doing that to some degree in their way. But the problem is so many people settle for so little and they play small, they play safe. And, you know, of course, they touch a few lives. But there's a way to break out of that box where instead of touching maybe a few dozen or a few hundred lives, you'd be touching thousands of lives, maybe a million or more. And so that's what I'm passionate about doing is empowering people to break out of whatever is holding them back, maybe some kind of mental or emotional prison that they're stuck in, and maybe they don't see it that way, but they're settling for less, and they're not helping as many people as they could. And one of the main reasons people don't do all that they can, what's stopping the show or holding them down, keeping in prison, is that four-letter F word, fear. And that's what we talked about last week, you know, part one. And so I'm not going to review all that. Just listen to the prior episode. That was really more focused on how to overcome problems and challenges. But this second half, we're going to talk a little bit more about the fear part. Okay?
Excellent.
So
for those people that are listening in, we have a lot of listeners for the first time. So what you want to do is you want to go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray. Gebauer, and G-E-B-A-U-E-R is how you spell his last name. So it's, if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com, do a search by show name, look for Ray Gebauer, G-E-B-A-U-E-R, and then you can hear the radio show that we did last week, which was part one for this, as well as the previous week. So Ray, go ahead, back to you.
Okay, thanks. I had an idea just before the call, just to make it a little more interesting and to also to make the point a little stronger. I want to make about fear and a little bit of humor. I'd like to share a number of different political perspectives to the age-old philosophical question of, so why did the chicken cross the road? So, and there's a purpose to this. So, let's start with our former president, Obama. His answer, why did the chicken cross the road? He said, let me be perfectly clear. If the chickens like their eggs, they can keep their eggs. No chicken will be required to cross the road to surrender her eggs, period. Hillary Clinton, her answer to why did the chicken cross the road, she said, what difference at this point does it make why the chicken crossed the road? Of course, Donald Trump, he had his perspective. He said, the chicken crossed the road because of political correctness to take a stand against illegal immigration and to make America great again. George W. Bush, his perspective was, we don't really care why the chicken crossed the road. We just want to know if the chicken is on our side of the road or not. The chicken is either with us or against us. There's no middle ground here. Dick Cheney, his response, why did the chicken cross the road? He said, where's my gun? Of course, Bill Clinton, he said, I did not cross the road with that chicken. Al Gore said, I invented the chicken. Oprah, she said, well, I understand that the chicken is having problems, which is why he wants to cross the road so badly. So instead of having the chicken learn from his mistakes and take falls, which is part of life, I'm going to give the chicken a new car so he can just drive across the road and not live his life like the rest of the chickens. Let's see, Martha Stewart, no one called me to warn me which way the chicken was going. I had a standing order at the farmer's market to sell my eggs when the price dropped to a certain level. No little bird gave me any insider information. Dr. Seuss, did the chicken cross the road? Did he cross it with the toad? Yes, the chicken crossed the road, but why he crossed it, I've not been told. Ernest Hemingway, why did the chicken cross the road? To die in the rain alone. Aristotle, is the nature of chickens to cross the road? Albert Einstein, did the chicken really cross the road or did the road move beneath the chicken? Grandpa, in my day, we didn't ask why the chicken crossed the road. Somebody told us the chicken crossed the road and that was good enough for us. And then Colonel Sanders, did I miss one? I hate it when they escape. Which way did it go? Maybe I can catch it. So, I say the real reason the chicken crossed the road in our context is because he wanted to get to a better place where he could harness the power of leverage and make a difference, help people, save lives, make more money. But here's the real question. Why don't most of the chickens cross the road? Because they're chicken. So many of us, deep down, we're chicken sometimes just to pick up the phone and talk to somebody because we are we're like a slave to fear. The anxiety, maybe fear is a little too strong. That's what it really is. But the anxiety stops us. We're concerned about what they might think. What if they reject us or whatever? And so we don't cross the road. We don't pick up the phone. You know, we don't do what we need to do, because we're stopped in our tracks, by fear. You like to make any comment, Peter, on that?
That was cute. I'm going to listen to it again so I can catch all of them. So I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, last week we had to end when I was in the middle of talking about how to overcome fear with time travel. And what I mean by time travel is harnessing the three dynamics of time. So let's start with the first, the time element or dynamic of the past. Now, the past can be what's stopping you because, you've got hurt or rejected or whatever, and so you remember those past events, and so you say, well, I don't want to get hurt again. So past is what holds you back. But you can also use the past to empower yourself. And by recalling and writing down every single experience you remember where you did cross the road and you had some success. Like for me, I remember, a lot of times when I was a kid, I would get up early in the morning and do my paper round and go end of the month, go around collecting and do certain things where I was successful. I remember being able to ride my bike and riding long ways with no hands and, things that I was proud of, being on the swimming team. One time I saved someone's life because I was a lifeguard. And, these are things that happened when I was a kid. And, some of them may not be worthy of news or something, but it was meaningful to me, plus some of my business success, even though I've had probably more failures than success. But if you make a list of all the times where you did something that you felt good about in the past, that empowers you for right now and into the future. Now, the second, does that make sense to you, Peter?
It does.
Yeah. Now, of course, in the present, you want to make a different list. What do I have going for me right now? What are my resources? Who are the people who believe in me? Who can help me? What talents do I have? Am I good at talking to people? Am I good at writing? Am I good at listening? Do I have empathy? Do I have confidence? You make a list, of 100 things or, 10 or 20 things that are really in your favor right now, and just identify them and be aware of them, and that, again, rebuilds your confidence, strengthens your confidence. The third element of time travel is traveling into the future that doesn't exist yet, but we use the power of imagination, which also can take us to the past, which can either hurt us or empower us. But now we use the power of imagination to imagine what could happen. What are the possibilities? Now, that can work against you, too. You can think, what could go wrong? Well, I'll probably just fail again, or think of negative possibilities. Or that's what a fear does. But faith and confidence is the opposite, where we imagine the positive possibilities, where you take a posture of optimism, you create a dream board, you write down your goals, and you think about how that would impact your life. You create a vision for the future. There's a verse in the Proverbs, it's been quoted many times, says, without a vision, the people perish. So you need a vision, and literally in the Greek, or the Hebrew, actually, the word vision is revelation. So when you have a revelation, you, all of a sudden you see the possibility, what could be, what maybe your calling, maybe your potential destiny, that empowers you. So those are the three ways that time can be used for you or against you, and you want to take control and use it in a positive way. Now, another element of understanding fear is looking at it metaphorically. Now, this is one of my favorite things to talk about. Well, actually, one more point before I get to that. One way to deal with fear is just to accept it rather than trying to avoid it, because so often we waste time trying to overcome it. And so I think the best way to deal with fear that's there, like you're afraid to talk to certain people because you assume it might not be positive or whatever, We're going to talk about rejection more specifically in a few minutes here. But whatever fear or anxiety is there, first of all, just embrace it and experience it fully. You just let it be there and discover and realize that the fear really cannot hurt you or kill you. It's just there, like God is there, like gravity is there. The birds are there. In fact, fear itself isn't even necessarily bad, and it has some real usefulness too, in fact. But when we allow it to limit us and control us and hold us back and hold us down, we end up ripping ourselves off and living a small life, and we can miss our destiny. So first of all, you know, just realize it's okay to have fear and just do it anyway. The second aspect is seeing fear as a form of darkness. So here's a question. How do you rid yourself of darkness? Do you fight it? Do you resist it? Do you curse it? No, you just let it be there and just turn on the light. It's like you don't have to conquer the darkness. You just turn on the light, and that takes care of it. The light overcomes the darkness as long as you have the light on. So light is analogous to faith or confidence. So when you turn on the faith, what happens to the fear? The darkness of fear just disappears, or at least the power of fear is diminished or disabled, depending how bright the light is. So how do you keep the faith on? Well, like I said, confidence is really the same as faith. So you create faith by, like I already described, harnessing the past, the present, and the future. And plus, since faith is also contagious, just like all emotions are contagious, if you're around depressed people, you'll get depressed. If you're around angry people, you'll get angry. If you're around happy people, you'll be more likely to be happy. Well, faith and confidence is also contagious. So if you associate with those who have greater faith than you, more confidence, you start to catch it. It gets inside of you. So what do you do if faith just keeps coming back? Well, you just keep on turning on the light, turning on the faith. So don't think that you need to get rid of the faith or, I mean, the fear directly. You don't need to. And sometimes it can be your teacher. Just don't let it be your master. So rather than taking a stand against fear, like say, well, I'm fearless. Your fear is just false evidence appearing real. It's not really there. No, it's really there. It's an emotion, and it can, you know, paralyze you. But rather than taking a stand against fear, because you know, what you resist will persist, instead just ignore it and take a stand of faith, stand in confidence, stand in belief. Don't say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Don't say, no, I believe. I believe in myself. I know who I am. I know my calling. Other people believe in me. And associate with those who have confidence and strong belief in themselves. In fact, be around those people. Go to meetings where there's positive people. Any meeting that's positive, you know, whether it's church or a networking event or a concert or a convention that your company has, you know, an opportunity meeting. And the bigger the meeting, the more people there, the more the collective energy and faith that everyone else impacts you and empowers you that much more. And the more you do that, the more unstoppable you become. If there's conference calls to be on it. You know, have a partner that you talk to every day where you have accountability. You can, nowadays, you can go on the internet and there's so many good resources. There's a lot of YouTube videos that can build up your faith, particularly people like Jim Rohn and Les Brown and Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, and a bunch of others. Now, consider the source of fear and faith. I mentioned this, but let me elaborate. Both have the same source. It's your imagination. So you generate or you create either one. And we tend to think that fear or faith comes from the outside, but actually they do not exist for you unless you've created it. Now, let's examine a little more closely one effect of fear or expression of fear, the so-called fear of rejection. Well, I probably shouldn't say so-called. I mean, it's fear of rejection. But I don't know, what I meant was so-called is the rejection is so-called because usually there's no rejection. But let's talk about this, okay? Unless you have any other comments you wanted to make. Any commentary, Peter, what I said so far?
Nope. You're doing just fine. I've learned when you're here, I learn a lot more when your lips are moving. So keep going.
Okay, we call fear of rejection is a huge obstacle for a lot of people, maybe most people. So it's real. It paralyzes people. But the real problem really isn't the rejection itself. It's the fear of rejection. This fear of rejection is something that you create. It's not really real. I mean, the fear is real, but probably the rejection isn't. So you want to know how you overcome the fear of rejection? It's easy. You just face the truth. Ultimately, the truth should win, right? And that's it. And the truth is that there is really no rejection in this business, like almost never, even though there's tons of fear of rejection, but the rejection usually is not there at all. It's just in our imagination. Now, here's my evidence. If I'm sharing the gift of my product or the opportunity with you, and you tell me you're not interested, or maybe you tell me that what I'm doing is stupid or that's a scam or whatever, you know, I may tell myself that I was just rejected. But let's look at the truth. What actually really happened? I told you what I believed. You told me your opinion. Your opinion was different than my opinion. And I made up this idea, this notion that you rejected me. But honestly, where's the rejection? I don't see any rejection. The truth is that all that happened is that there was a difference of opinion. There's no rejection. The rejection part was just something I made up. Now, the only time I would be rejected would be if you told me, Ray, I reject you. Okay, well, then maybe I have been rejected in that case. But, hey, how often does that happen? So unless I'm told directly, I reject you, I say there's no rejection really going on. It's just all in your mind. The only rejection is what I made up and what I imagined. And with that, I disempower myself. Well, someone might say, well, maybe the guy just didn't say it, but he actually was rejecting you. Well, okay, let's check that out. So I ask you, so I can say to the person, if I want to be sure, hey, Jim, are you rejecting me? And they're going to say, no, I'm not rejecting you. I just rejected what you said. That's probably what they said. Now, but the truth is, and that's probably what's really going on. They're rejecting your idea. They're rejecting the possibility. They have a different opinion, but they're not rejecting you personally. The truth is, it doesn't even matter whether or not I actually was rejected because fear is the problem. So even if you did reject me, so what? Am I going to die? Am I damaged or injured? You know, I'm going to die from some, you know, terrible disease now because I got rejected. So if I can just see the truth, you know, just say the truth can set you free, right? So if I can see the truth, there's no rejection anyway other than what I make up in my mind. There's really nothing to fear. So choose to create faith instead of creating fear. But fear doesn't happen to you like you're walking down the street and a car just comes from behind you and hits you. Like now you're a victim. Well, fear doesn't ambush you. We create our own fear, just like we create faith. It's sort of like the mother who was really upset with her little boy. He was being really bad, disobedient. And she said, I brought you into the world and I can take you out. So any fear that you have, you created it. They didn't come along and inject you with some fear serum or poison. You created it. So you can uncreate that fear. You can delete it by turning on the light that gets rid of the darkness, by creating faith that instantly displaces it. So choose people and environment that are congruent with faith. Because you know what? We're all susceptible to it, but we all can become people of great faith. It's a choice. And I understand some of these things take time. I mean, you can start off, you know, you might be where I was a few years ago, where I didn't have social skills. I didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't know how to have friends. And I used to stutter and have nervous habits. I keep to myself. You know, I play chess. and do things, swimming, which is not like a team sport, because I was a slave to fear. But eventually I escaped that prison. And so with the right kind of support and accountability and coaching and thinking through this, and just sometimes you say, hey, fear the fear and do it anyway. But eventually the fear can lose its grip, and you can be free of that, free to be all of who you are meant to be, free to more effectively help more people and reach more people. So those are my thoughts on fear. And praise God, I guess I'm an example of somebody who I enjoy helping other people to escape that fear. And one other thing I'll say, I guess, about fear is part of overcoming fear is just getting into action. Okay, so you have some anxiety about picking up the phone. Well, okay, pick up the phone anyway. In fact, there's a little trick that's really helpful when you're still dealing with that. Like, let's say you've decided you're going to work 1 hour a day calling people. But reaching for the phone, you have this, like, a blockage. And so here's a little trick. You count backwards from five. And in the agreement you made with yourself, when I hit zero, then it doesn't matter how I feel, I'm picking up the phone. So you don't really want to pick up the phone, but part of you does. So they say, okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, pick up the phone and make the call. And by just so like a little mind trick there, it gets you into action. And action is one of the best ways to overcome fear. Here's another illustration just came to mind. So let's say you are a really, really shy person, and you don't like to talk to people. You're afraid of what they might think of you and how they might judge you. And you live next door to a family. You never talk to them, but, they're over there, and they have a bunch of kids. And then one night you wake up like 3 o'clock in the morning. In fact, last night I woke up at 3 o'clock and had some great ideas. But you wake up for some reason, and you look out the window, and you see their house is on fire. The roof's on fire, but the no lights on, so the people over there don't really realize it yet. So you call 911, but while they're getting there, what are you going to do? Well, are you going to just stay home because you're afraid of what they might think? No, you're going to go over there and pound on the door. Hey, wake up, your house is on fire. All of a sudden, what happened to fear? It sort of went away because you saw what was at stake. So when you get clear about what's at stake and how you could be helping people, what could happen if you don't reach out and take the chance, that itself can just overcome the fear. Okay, that's pretty much my thoughts on it. Now it's just a matter of maybe listening to this a couple of times and putting it into practice. Any comments, Peter?